Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
$30 million people in the United States ish. There's nearly half of them say that they've cried about their money. Nearly half. And you'd think, by the way, that's people living paycheck to paycheck, and that is a higher percentage, but not that much further ahead than people living on $200,000 or more a year. You would think those people are doing okay, and yet nearly half of those people say they're crying about their money. So the question was, for me, was, If there's so many podcasts, books, videos, all kinds of great stuff, people having awesome conversations out there, why are we still leaving so many people behind?
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. Hey, welcome back to the show. It is so great to have you here. And seriously, I just want to remind you that this show exists because of you. So I'm so incredibly thankful that you dig it and that you listen and that you share this show. It really means so much to me. We've got an exciting episode for you. As Joe mentioned in the intro, millions of people are crying about their money, and you might be one of those. I know I have certainly cried about my money so many times in the past, and I'm not embarrassed to admit it. Money is ridiculously stressful. With all the content out there about money, it's so easy to just still feel lost at the end of the day. Like, what is going on? Well, Joe Salsui, he is host of the Stacking Benjamins podcast, author of the new book, Stacked, and he's a former financial advisor, so he doesn't just talk the talk. We have known about each other for years now, and why we've not actually been on each other's shows, I'm not quite sure, but Joe is here today, and you're just going to love him. His mission is to help you get stacked, to grow and protect your money in a way that helps you live the life you want to live and do so while having some fun too. My gosh, we all need to have some more fun. In this episode, Joe shares the steps you need to get stacked, what to think about with this crazy current economy we've got, why your attitude about money matters, how to do money without having a nervous breakdown, and so much more. Let's get talking. Joe, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. Your humor is always so infectious, and I don't know how you've not been on this podcast until now, but here you are. So thanks for being here.
Thank you. You know, what's funny is I thought the same when you and I spoke for the first time on Instagram. You're somebody I've known forever. I know your reputation. I know how awesome you are. And I'm like, how did we not talk before this? So I'm super happy to be here. Thanks.
We've got so many things I want to dive in with you. Most importantly, I want to talk about your book, Stacked. I read it cover to cover. And I love, as I mentioned, I love your humor. I love the way you talk about money topics. It just feels so relatable. We're going to dive into your story a little bit more. But the inside cover of your book, Stacked, it says rich, wealthy, well-heeled, moneyed, affluent, not bad, but why not get stacked instead? So I really like this idea of getting stacked. Tell us a little bit about what does this mean?
Well, the first thing that it didn't mean was just another book out there, because like you, I interview a lot of people. We do 3 days a week on the Stacking Benjamin show, and we're at like 1200 episodes. So I've interviewed a lot of people, and the world doesn't need Sean another book, right? The world just does not need one. But I'll tell you this, there's this study that I read, which is by this group called Nonfiction Research. And it's a phenomenal research project called The Secret Financial Lives of Americans. And there are all kinds of disturbing statistics, like for people that work in offices, and you know, there's always that person in the office. Nobody knows who it is, but lunches are getting stolen. And the truth of that is there are people that are so screwed when it comes to their money that they have to steal lunch because they're starving. Right. They are so screwed. And, you know, I remember having that when I worked for American Express. There was always somebody stealing stuff out of lunches, and you're like, well, who's the jerk? Not so much being a jerk as much as it's they have no other recourse, or people that eat out of dumpsters, people that have said that they have traded sex for money, like all of these things that give you a pit in your stomach when you read them. But the biggest one that really influenced this idea of stacked was that out of 330 million people in the United States-ish, there's nearly half of them say that they've cried about their money. Nearly half. And you'd think, by the way, that's people living paycheck to paycheck, and that is a higher percentage, but not that much further ahead than people living on $200,000 or more a year. You would think those people are doing okay, and yet nearly half of those people say they're crying about their money. So the question was, for me, was if there's so many podcasts, books, videos, all kinds of great stuff, people having awesome conversations out there, Why are we still leaving so many people behind? And so the goal of becoming stacked was to make it approachable for people that normally don't do money topics. So it was my idea was to take the Hardy Boys Detective Manual, which I read in fourth grade and I thought was amazing.
Because
it was
a must, right?
It was when you're in fourth grade. Absolutely. Yes. And because you open up to the front cover, and I don't know, have you seen this book?
I have, yes.
You open it up, the right inside front cover, it tells you this is written with the help of a real life FBI agent. So this is legit. Like my brother's in second grade, I'm in fourth grade. We're like, if we want to be detectives, we just read this book because the FBI dude is going to tell us how to do it. And so my dad on like a muddy day would be, you know, he'd pull out with the car and we examine the tire tracks because in chapter five, it says that's what you do. And then my mom, like she would grab a door handle and we're immediately over there with the tape getting mom's fingerprints because mom's kind of sketchy. You don't know.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you gotta investigate mom, right?
Exactly. Who knows what mom's up to? And so I just love this idea of something being pretty introductory, being this easy to digest, fun, kind of campy thing that's inclusive, that everybody could be a detective if you just read these things. And then the second, so that was kind of the higher idea, but then the structure I didn't have yet. And I opened up this an old Cub Scout Wolf guide that I came across. And you know, you and I talk a lot about gamification, about lowering the temperature and making things easier on yourself. And the Cub Scouts were doing gamification way before all these app manufacturers who are doing it phenomenally well now in fintech and other areas. I mean, there's no chapters, there's achievements, you know, everything is an achievement. Right. And the easy achievements are at the beginning, which gives you confidence to do the later ones. And then it isn't about what you know. I mean, how many people, I was a financial planner for 16 years before I transitioned over to financial media. I met so many people who knew every single financial thing and were doing absolutely nothing with it.
Yes, 100%, right?
Yes.
It doesn't have anything to do with your, I think the thing that I really like about having conversation with you is we know these similarities from working with real people, real life, like we're real life money experts who worked with real life people. And what you saw was regardless of income, of demographic, of, I mean, so many different factors that really smart people that thought they knew everything about money, when you looked under the hood, it was like, oh, wait. Okay, things maybe aren't as great here.
Right. And it's sad because the people that look like they're doing great, like their avatar, if we walk around, you know, with avatars, like it's a video game.
Right.
Their avatar is phenomenal. They're dressed to the nines. They look fantastic. You and I would see under that hood and it was awful, right?
Right.
Just often so, so, so bad. So it isn't what you know, it's what you do. So at the end of, you know, the Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts are the same. At the end of your achievement, you have these check boxes to show proficiency, to actually do something. It's not about what you know, it's about what you do. And then there's a place for your mom to sign it and you get your badge. You know?
I wasn't in the Girl Scouts. I was in the Brownies, actually, which I think is pre-Girl Scouts.
Yes.
But I mean, I loved that sash. I mean, come on. As many of those little badges that I could stack up, I think we need to create like a money badge club, right? So, I mean, I would wear badges around, you know, but I think.
But people think this is ridiculous, right? There's people listening going, this is ridiculous. Let me ask you this. When you post something on social media, you love it when somebody likes it. It's the same thing, right? 100%. When somebody clicks that like button, we get this warm fuzzy. Ooh, somebody liked it. And if they don't like it, you post something else hoping they'll like that. And if you get two likes on your second thing and only one on your first, you feel this is gamification. These social media apps are doing it now. So it's not nearly as ridiculous as it sounds at first blush.
100%. I mean, yeah, when you put it that way and you have this emotional rush of somebody liking or not liking. And I can sort of see the same thing happening with money. You know, when you buy something and somebody notices it, somehow you feel good, even if maybe that wasn't the greatest money decision. It's really interesting how all of this is kind of wrapped up together. I love studying emotions and thoughts and feelings around money and how that plays in our success. So if you're making the case, okay, the idea around getting stacked and how we need to understand these concepts and we need to lighten it up just a little bit. What is getting in the way of us getting stacked?
I think it's that we want it quick. We want it very quick. We don't want to build a foundation. And there's two problems with that I think stand in our way. Number one is we don't realize how necessary the foundation is, but we also don't know how easy it is to build the foundation and how gratifying that will be for the rest of your life. Part of the same study, this nonfiction research study, shows that part of the problem we're having is with social media. Like you and I were just talking about that a second ago, that the part of the reason they postulate that real estate has taken off so much and so many average people talking about real estate is because of the fact that so many people are posting these beautiful projects they have, right? The reason we watch these Flip It shows and we hear about these ridiculous numbers. I put $4 into my kitchen and I resold it for $190,000.
You know? I like that math.
I know, right? But whenever I watch the Property Brothers, I think the same thing. I'm like, there's no way. There is just, there's, these numbers are not, I love watching that stuff though. And because it's all Instagrammable and it shows us getting there very quickly, we love that. I mean, think about how many people 6 months ago were talking about crypto online versus right now. Like my feed used to just be full of crypto, just constantly full of crypto. By the way, before that, it was full of marijuana stocks, right? Yeah. It was all kinds of weed stocks. And now it's all kinds of, or was all kinds of crypto. And now what's happened to the crypto people? Well, when crypto goes down by 50%, people tend to shut up about it because we're not getting rich quick on it anymore. And so I think that we want something for nothing. And I think that, I think that's what gets in the way. I think once we figure out that that foundation will lead us to so many cool things, we do it better. Let me give you, at the risk of pontificating, can I give you an example?
Please pontificate away.
This is, so my favorite thing is to automate. If you learn automation, you don't have to be super smart with your money, because serendipitously, which is one of my favorite words, serendipitously, so good I said it twice.
It just rolls off the tongue, right?
It's just beautiful. I love that word. So whoever created that word, thank you. You will a few times a year stumble upon these great money moves. Maybe, and let's just take an easy one. Let's say that you figure out your cell phone and you save $50 a month on your cell phone. What do most of us do? We high five ourselves. Right. And then we go about our lives, and a month later, we forget that we've saved $50 a month and we're going out to dinner once or twice more than we were before, or we're buying more stuff that we're not using. Our food waste goes up, something. It just goes into our regular lifestyle and we never really capture it. We're not paying for the phone anymore, but we're doing all this other stuff. So instead, if you find $50 a month, immediately hook that up to a direct deposit to go into a separate savings account that's your emergency fund at the bank or into your mutual fund, your Roth IRA, whatever it might be, and you capture that. That $50 a month sounds like very little. It's only $600 a year, Joe. $600 a year is $6,000 a decade. And when I look back on my life, I always think, man, if I would have had like a few more vacations. Well, $2,000 vacation is a very nice vacation. And think about if I could have three more $2,000 vacations over a 10-year period, what would that do? Like, that would change my life a lot. Just having three more vacations would be great. And that's just a $50 move. One $50 move creates three vacations every 10 years of your life that you didn't have before. So multiply that by the three or four things that we do that are these little moves per year. If we automate those and lock them in, all of a sudden it becomes this foundation that I'm talking about. And now you're building this cool foundational stuff on things that you don't need and don't like.
I love that a lot. I talk about that tip all the time. I always tell people, you can find money in your bank account. I don't care how much money you make, or if you think that you're really living paycheck to paycheck, there's some way there that we can cultivate some extra money. But then the magic is in what you're saying. It's what you do with that. Even if it's $5 or $50 or $500, whatever it is for you, automating that and sending that in a direction is so powerful, because like you just did the math for us and how that can really add up. What are some of the other money basics that you think we kind of overlook that we need to get back to building our foundation around?
Oh, here's a big one that everybody hates right now.
Buckle up, right?
Yes, which is this emergency fund, right? Because, and what do you hear about emergency funds? Joe, it's paying like 0.25%. I don't know if you saw this, but the consumer price index number that came out was 8.6. So I am losing purchasing power by having this money. So I'm not going to have an emergency fund. Like, why would I? Like, otherwise, incredibly smart, brainiac financial people will go emergency fund less. And this is somebody who understands the math of interest rates. But the key to the emergency fund isn't that the ROI of an emergency fund, that return is in other areas. And I'll give you several examples. Number one is, let's say I've got 6 months of money sitting in an emergency fund And I'm somebody that worries about my investments. I worry about my long term. Well, if I can keep my investments so that they're long term, I can stay aggressive while things are down like they are now. I can continue to invest while things are down. And I'm not going to really worry because I know that I have enough money to get through a short term thing. And I'm not going to have to go after this money. So people that would otherwise stay up at night can stay aggressive. But I see people without an emergency fund, they get more conservative with their investments in case they might need it. You don't want to do that. The second thing, though, is, and these are the big ones, your insurance policies. Like, this is one of my favorite things, is that when you look at your insurances, what you want to look at is not what the insurance industry tells you, which is, do you need this insurance? So pet insurance, do you need it? Do I not need it? Like, that'll be the, you know, an ad that you'll read. Do I need pet insurance? And I'll think, oh, do I need pet? I don't know. Do I need my cat? What if something, I don't know. But if you enlarge that, and instead ask this, you don't want to have that insurance conversation. The insurance industry wants you to have that. What you want to ask is, if something happens to me, how do I cover my risk? And in this case, there are all kinds of different ways that I can cover my risk that might not involve insurance. And as an example, homeowners coverage. If I've got that money sitting in a bank account, even though it's earning very little interest, my return on investment is I can raise my deductible on my homeowners or even on my renter's policy. And I end up saving this money every month. So because I'm not buying the insurance, I'm getting this extra money, keeping this extra money in my wallet. That's your return. Short-term disability coverage. You know how expensive that is.
For sure.
And you super need it too. The reason it's expensive is they think it's going to happen to you, right?
I mean, the odds are, yeah.
Yes. It's funny because you and I know this too, that people buy insurances that are cheap and they avoid ones that are expensive. But think about why insurances are cheaper and expensive. They're expensive because they have actuaries who think it's going to happen to them, to us. So when they price the policy, they have to make it expensive so they still get a profit. They can make it really cheap if they don't think it's going to happen to you. And clearly that's, you know, car insurance versus homeowners. Your home, for most of us, cost more than our car. No judgment there if it's the opposite, but well, maybe a little judgment. But generally, your house costs more than your car for most of us, but the car insurance is more expensive. And the reason is they think something's going to happen to you in your car versus something's going to happen to your house. But you could also raise that deductible, Sean. I mean, you could make it so your deductible on your homeowner's insurance and your car insurance are higher. If you now realize that's a risk you're going to take yourself, but that's what that emergency fund is for. So all of these things, less short-term disability insurance, less worry about what if I lose my job for 6 months. I can stay more aggressive with my investments. I can raise my deductibles on my homeowners, my renters, my car insurance, like all of these cool things I can do because I have an emergency fund, and yet people don't want one.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. Isn't it also about balance too, right? I think about, you mentioned pet insurance. I just got a pup about 3 months ago. Her name is Winnie. She's adorable. Everybody stops us on the street and says, "Oh, what is that puppy?" So just a little proud pup mom moment. But nonetheless, Miss Little Winnie, who is only 5 months old, has already been to the vet very, very many times. And so I actually decided to get pet insurance after kind of looking at the myriad of options. And I thought, okay, let me get a policy that covers the catastrophe things. If things really kind of go badly and she needs a big surgery or something like that. But then I'm also going to balance it out with, I set up a separate emergency fund for Winnie that I put a little money in every month. So I'm kind of balancing out that cost between having some insurance and then having some sort of emergency fund for her as well. And so I think about money kind of in that perspective as well, is thinking about how do you create like a harmonious balance between everything that you have. So maybe there is a little bit of risk, but you're also taking care of yourself on the other side and not so worried, like you're saying, about emergency fund ROI, because it's not meant to do that. It's meant to help secure when things happen.
I love that you say that, because I feel like too often, especially with money nerds, right? Money nerds love to solve for optimization, love to solve to have things be optimal. And what do we know is that things change. it's very difficult to optimize things for tomorrow. We can optimize it for today, but if it changes, now it's suboptimal again. Where I think what we should be doing is we should be solving for, to your point, I think we should be solving for flexibility. You know, how do we give ourselves the flexibility that as things change, we can kind of roll with that, not worry about it so much. So I think for me, that's that balance I'm looking for.
So tell me a little bit about your background. I want to dive a little deeper. You're a formal financial advisor. I am a non-practicing CFP. So obviously we both worked with people and then decided we didn't want to do that anymore. There's probably many good bar stories we could share with each other. But tell me a little bit about, like, how did you go from helping people to turning into this amazing podcaster, author that you are, and sort of changing the way that you're talking about money with people?
It's funny because that's all based on this discussion I didn't have enough when I was younger, which was what do I value in my life? And when I was a financial planner, I really liked it, but I was taking it home a lot during the 2000 to 2002 tech wreck. I remember that whole 2 year period just being, you know, I felt like we did everything right. But you can only tell your clients so many times in a row, hey, we're only down 20 while the market's down 50. Isn't that great?
As sweat beads come off your forehead. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm looking at these goals still get flushed down the drain. You know what I mean? Even if you do everything right in some of these markets, I mean, we saved people a lot of money by staying diversified, not getting into the hype about thinking about the long term. But still, you saw the economy just really take out investors. And it was the same in 2007, 2008. So I found myself living it, too much, and I was having trouble sleeping. I was having trouble focusing on my family, and I have twins that were at home and needed, you know, a dad that wasn't just so worried about work that he wasn't really thinking about the bigger picture. And when I was 39, there was an advisor kind of coach who sent out like this 2 weeks notice letter. And by the way, in the type of firm that I worked at, nobody sent out a 2 weeks notice letter. This was more of a Jerry Maguire type place where you leave at midnight with the client files and then everybody's calling him at 7 a.m. to see who keeps the client, right? It was more of that. So just the fact that he had a letter. And he said, you know, I feel very lucky that I've accumulated some savings. He calls it luck. I would call it diligence. But I feel very lucky that I've accumulated some savings. And I also know that I like financial planning, but I don't love it. I think there's other things I want to do. But he didn't phrase it that way. He said, I think I have other mountains to climb. Mm. And I found that metaphor very powerful when I read it. I still remember reading it and going, wow, like this idea of climbing mountains. Well, it wasn't a metaphor. He actually went and climbed Everest twice. He's climbed most of the tall peaks around the world. He now runs an adventure travel company. Like when he was talking mountains, he was talking
really?
Mountains.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Chris was really, really doing it. So, but I looked at that and I thought, I was really in the same place, and I'm 39 years old. I have this business that I owned that I could sell, and I could go do something while I had that bucket of money from running a good business to go do something I wanted to do. And I really loved the teaching part of my job. Like, I thought that was really, really fun. So I went back to school. I sold my business. I went back to school at 40 to become a high school teacher and a track coach, because that was what I really wanted to do. I wasn't worried about money anymore. I was worried more about fulfillment and this idea of teaching the next generation to be better at that time it was going to be English, right? To be better writers and to have some fun with writing, because that was actually what my degree was in English. And so I thought that I'd get back to that stuff. And I ran track in college myself. I'd coach middle school track. My wife and I had met each other as track coaches. She was the girls' middle school coach. I was the boys' coach.
Nice.
And I loved all that stuff. Well, I went back to school, and I, within 6 months, I was bored with my classes. I was getting straight A's, which is cool. I was bored. I also, as I was saying goodbye to my clients earlier, they had told me that they thought that I'd be a good teacher, but that I would spend most of my time fighting administration, that I wouldn't be teaching was not what I thought it was, which is sad. Because I think, but man, my teaching clients were such cool people and just such great teachers. But sure enough, my professors were teaching me the same thing, that I would spend a lot of time fighting administration and teaching to test. I wouldn't get to teach the way that I really wanted to. Well, I'm at home in shorts and a t-shirt. My friends who knew that I had done some PR stuff, they started asking me to write newsletters for their clients, or to, I had friends that were on TV, like I had been on television, and I would write their TV scripts for them, or radio scripts, or I would write all of this stuff. I do all kinds of writing. And after a year of taking classes to get my teaching post-bachelor certificate, I saw that I was making as much as a first year teacher, and I'm having a ton of fun just teaching people about money. So a friend of mine, who now we call OG on our show, my co-host, I told him I was going to start a blog. He's like, hey, let's start it together. We started a blog. The blog did okay. About a year and a half later, we decided to start the podcast. The podcast was okay for about the first 2 years. And then we made a hard pivot, a really hard pivot, where we decided to embrace the lightness, the on-ramp, to make it more like the Tonight Show, to give it a little bit more of an ADD kind of feel, more of a circus. And then it took off. And actually, it didn't take off right away. I'll go back just a little bit, which is, we had about 3,000 listeners at that time, and we lost a third of them immediately, which is, by the way, another lesson that, if you know that what you're doing is right and it's better and it's really what you think you need to do, like, don't get too into polling the people around you. Stick to your guns. Cause I had people telling me that I'd ruined their favorite show, that it was horrible what we'd done. We were just rotten. And, I remember, one woman telling me that I was an egotistical person, we'll put it that way.
Wow. Okay.
Because I was sticking to my guns. By the way, what's cool is 6 months later, she wrote me back again and said, you're right, I like the show better, which was super cool. Yeah, but I was worried about it. But it took us, you know, we weren't good at it. When you first try something, you're not good at it. And I feel like we don't give ourselves enough time. We don't let ourselves screw up stuff enough. And so we messed it up for about 2 months, and all of a sudden it hockey sticked, and the show just started growing like mad. And so anyway, that was my full transition. I also had other mountains to climb, like my friend Chris did. And I'm so glad that that because of him, I took seriously this thought of, what do I really want to do? And is this what I want to do the rest of my life? You know?
Yeah. And I like your story of figuring that out. And I feel like so many people listening, I might be speaking to somebody now who's looking at the state of affairs with the high inflation, high cost of living, and filling up our gas tank and cursing every time we look at how much it costs. How do we balance kind of the chaos that's going on with money and the extra pull on our bank accounts with that idea of, maybe I need to transform my life so I can live a better vision? Like, how do you balance those two things when one area of life that seemingly we can't control inflation, we can't control how much it costs us to go to the grocery store, feels like it's just pulling all of the strings on our wallets right now, but we don't really want to just keep living the life we're living. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/etm and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/etm. Go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use code ETM for 20% off.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Man, I don't know if you agree with this. I think you will. But I think you have to screw balance. You have to say, I can't balance these two because my life is finite. And if my life is finite, I don't want to look back with a bunch of regret saying I should have done this and I didn't do it. And I think there's always going to be something to be afraid of. I'm afraid of everything, by the way. I come from
You're
a family
in good
of
company.
People.
Me too.
I'm afraid of so many things. And I have this mantra that I use to get me through it, which Nike used for a while, actually. And there was a book in the 1980s, the late 80s, that was called this. And this was before Just Do It. They kind of adopted this phrase of feel the fear, but do it anyway. And I love that phrase because I think the dumbest advice I hear people give right now is, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about the economy. Right, right. Don't be afraid about the stock market. No, you can't stop yourself from being afraid. And you have every right to be afraid. And even if you try bottling that up, it's just going to come out in other ways. It is. Every psychologist will tell you that is not healthy. Feel that fear. It's okay to feel that fear, but do what you're going to do. And I think then you, once you give it that fear a name, you can set it off to the side And you can then proceed, you know, you go, you know what? I am afraid of you, but I'm not going to let you stop me. So I think we can't balance. I think you just have to decide that my life is finite and I got to go for it.
Yeah, it when you're talking about fear, it reminds me of one of the chapters in your book I really like, Fighting Fear and Creating a Benjamin Stacking Mindset. I'm big on mindset. You talk about money scripts in there. So I'm wondering, you know, what piece of the puzzle does our attitude towards money have in kind of this overall idea of stacking money, of building wealth, whatever it might be?
What piece of the puzzle?
Yeah, does your mindset, do these money scripts, all this, how does this play into your overall success?
100% plays into it. Well, not into your success, but it is friction. And I think you have to know what the friction is to go forward. I love this idea. And I don't think we do this enough. I don't think we look back at how we came up with how we manage money. Now, why am I so frugal? Or why am I a spender? I'm not frugal. I'm way a spender. I will, if I don't have checks and balances, I will spend money on anything. If you'd have told me that it cost me $20 to talk to you today, I would have thrown $20 your way.
Only $20? Let me see. I might have to raise my price here.
It's like, wait, hold on. But I will do that. So I have to set myself up systems, but I know why that is. The reason for me is we didn't talk about money at all when I was a kid. And when I had money, because I rarely had it in my hand. And when I did have it, it was just to go blow on whatever I want. That's why I like blowing money. I like blowing money because that's what I did my whole childhood. It's what we never talked about saving. We never talked about getting into debt. We just talked about this. Hey, if you got money, go feel good, you know, go spend it on a bicycle, go buy whatever it might be. You know, the next time we go to the store, load up on candy, whatever that might be. So, and people have money scripts that are much more serious than that, where they heard their, you know, their mom sitting at a table crying about money, or a dad and mom fighting, you know, about money, or whatever it might be. Like, going back into those things, you got to, I think, figure out where the friction is so that you can overcome that friction. I know that my impetus is to blow cash. I need to know that so I can set myself up systems so I don't blow cash. And once I realized that and I walked through that and I verbalized it, I then was able to much more easily. It's almost like, you know, what's the first thing in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, admitting what the issue is. Actually, you look at all of those groups. The first thing you do is you admit what your issue is. And I think that when you start with that, then it's easier to proceed.
So I want to give everyone maybe a little, I hate to use the word to-do list, but maybe a few little action steps. So, of course, they've got to grab a copy of Stacked, read it ASAP. But other than that, what sort of money steps do you think we can take right now to just get ourselves in a better position, maybe to brush up on the basics, or just to feel a little bit more prepared for the environment that we're operating in right now?
I love this idea that people that are here with us are listening to responsible voices. And I think that we need to do that in our life. I think that's job one, is surrounding yourself with the right messaging. And they've already done that by listening to your show. I think that, though, continuing that message by surrounding yourself with the right people, getting together with those people over coffee and talking about what inspires you, lift each other up. I think that's so, so, so important. You know, I have a coach her name is Mary Lou, and she's been my coach for a long time. And I meet with her every Monday, first thing in the morning. And she is somebody that my spouse does not like personally. And the reason is that Cheryl and I, my spouse and I, we're so much alike. We're not even glasses half full. We're glasses three quarters full. Glass might be 7/8 full. Right? Everything's happy. It's going to work out. Everything's going to be great. Mary Lou, my coach, is the glass is 1/4 full. And you know what? People are out to get you, and you need to, but I need that. I think we need these people in our life, not people that think about the world the same way we do, but that have our blind spots. You know, that they love you and they're a friend of yours, but man, you're messing this up, and they should be kind of blunt about it. You know, I really kind of like, and I know they do more for TV, but like Gordon Ramsay, who does the kitchen shows, I could probably do without the yelling. But by the end of the show, you know, even when he goes into these restaurants to help them, he wants the restaurant to do better. He really wants to help this family succeed, and he's going to get, you know, he's going to get where they want to go, but he's very blunt with these people getting there. And I feel like a lot of us need those people in our life who are just going to bluntly say, hey, you know what, Joe, you're messing this up. Why are you doing that? Like, what are you doing? I think that's the first thing you can do is surround yourself with the best people and the best messages. So from listening to the podcast now to go then have a surround sound of maybe a group of people that also listen to the podcast, you know, that are in your local area would be a great group to get together with and have coffee.
Well, Joe, you're welcome back on the show anytime. Your wisdom is amazing. Love having conversations with you. Thank you for sharing all of this with the audience. I know you're on a 40-city book tour. I don't know how many cities we have left, but tell everyone listening if they want to connect with you, grab a copy of the book, or check out the podcast, where do they go?
Yeah, my tour ends on next Sunday, so I'm not sure what day this is coming out.
So they'll catch you the next tour.
The next tour. That's right. Yes. So I'll say this instead. Thank goodness the tour is over. I loved meeting like-minded people. But I should have said 4 cities and not 40. Like that would have been a much better thing. But connect with me on social media. Say hi to me on Twitter. I'm Average Joe Money on Twitter. We have a wonderful community of like-minded people, the Stacking Benjamin's Basement, a lot of dad jokes, if you don't like joking around, you probably don't want to be a part of our community, but those are a couple places to say hi.
Isn't Joe awesome? As much fun as he was on this podcast, that is equally as much fun as you're going to have reading his book Stacked or listening to his show, Stacking Benjamin's podcast. It's just always a good time. Every time I talk with him, I just end with the biggest smile. I don't know. He's just one of those people that I wish I could have on my phone that just, you know, every day I hear a little message from Joe when I wake up, and it just helps you feel better, especially if you're freaking out right now about money, or maybe you are one of those people who are having a few little crying spells over money. Just know that it's okay. You've got some friends here that are here for you. I think one of the things I really took away from this interview was when Joe was talking about feeling the fear and just doing it anyway. And I think that's how we can feel about money. Is it's really easy to just want to cover our eyes and hide in a corner and not look at anything. But I encourage you, and I know Joe encourages you, to just take some baby steps. It's okay to have some fear, but the actual practice of moving through things that are scary for you, it just helps it to be a little less fearful the next time you do it. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, do me the highest favor, share it with a few friends, family members right now, help everybody in your sphere get stacked. And I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.